I'm guessing you knew all those names, right? Yeah, names are important. And christening, the word christening is another word for baptism. It means to name or to put into useful service. When God puts his name on us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we get adopted into the family tree. Keep that in mind in light of our scripture lessons for tonight, because Matthew begins with a genealogy that sets the table for Emmanuel, God with us. Don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife. Oh, it's a scandal. But there's lots of scandal already in the genealogy that begins the Gospel of Matthew. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. God comes, God is with us. Some of you know Pastor Ken Kimball. He's the dean of the Iowa Mission District. He was here last Saturday night worshiping with us, along with his wife, Debbie. It was a surprise. It wasn't what I expected. I mean, they live in Iowa. He has two churches that he takes care of on Sunday morning, so he's got a full plate. And I said, wow, this is a wonderful gift, a wonderful gift. He said, well, we planned this. We decided that we would come, we would do some shopping in Rochester, and then we would be here after a supper together to share worship with our friends at Emmanuel. Well, they stayed afterwards. I mean, for a long time. And they shared conversation and fellowship and coffee and stuff. And I was a little concerned because I knew they had a long drive ahead of them. They were going back to Iowa, and he had a busy morning at two congregations in worship and preaching. And then eventually they went, and I had said a prayer as they were going, Lord, take them home safely. Be with them. Well, I ran into Pastor Kimball this past Thursday. There was a pastor's meeting over at Olivet Lutheran in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And he showed up for the meeting with the pastors. And as we were sharing with one another and then offering prayers for one another, he shared what had happened on Saturday night. He left here as he was heading home. They were taking one of these windy roads that kind of goes adjacent to the river. And all of a sudden, one of the tires came off of the car. And he said, it was as though there was an angel on each corner of the car holding it as it slowed down, came to a rest, and boom, as it landed. He said if it had happened early, if it happened later, when they were going on a curve, a deep ravine, they would have ended up in the water. It could have been a terrible, terrible night. Very tragic outcome. It could have been. He said God was with us. They called, and AAA said, well, it'll be 3 hours at least. And then they got a hold of a highway patrol officer who got there. Somebody was on the road. They stopped. They put their blinkers on to make sure that in the midst of this, they would be kept safe. They stayed with them. And then a tow truck came and took them to a nearby town. And then he called the council president. And he said, we're stuck up here in a small town. And the council president said, don't worry, I'll get in my car now, and I'll come up and I'll get you. I said, wow, what time did you get home? He said, about 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, a short night, and then preaching and leading worship. He said, you know, we thought the car would be totaled, $240 of repair. He said, God is so amazing. I said, you know, I'd prayed for you, and a lot of people would say, well, then pastor's prayers weren't answered. They had an accident, they had a mishap on the way home. You see what could have been? Faith recognizes that Emmanuel, God, is with us. Joy is not the absence of suffering or problems or crises. Joy is the presence of God, Emmanuel. Like bookends, like brackets, the theologian Matthew, the gospel writer, the preacher offers a sermon. And the Gospel of Matthew begins with naming and with obedience and with Emmanuel. That long litany of names in a family tree where you have the wife of Uriah and you have Tamar and you have Rahab. You know those names. And Ruth the Moabitess, I mean, you're talking about harlots, you're talking about adultery, you're talking about all kinds of stuff. And usually women weren't mentioned in a family tree because that didn't count. You only listed the men. Matthew is saying from the very beginning of this gospel of Jesus Christ that this good news story is where God is willing and able to enter into crisis and scandals, to be persistent and patient and providential in bringing about the salvation of his people, in keeping faith, in fulfilling promises. And so you see, when we're told about the genesis of Jesus, that's what the word is, the birth of Jesus took place in this way, the scandal doesn't surprise us, because God is working through scandals and crises all the time. A messenger, an angel is sent to Joseph, the dreamer, in a dream. We remember Genesis 37 to 50, another Joseph, another providential act of God. Don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife, the one to whom he's betrothed. And betrothal was not just a kind of a casual engagement. It was a legal contract that could be broken only by divorce at that point, even though they hadn't yet consummated the relationship. Now, most of the time, the betrothal would take place in the teens, probably 14, 15, 16, for sure by age 17. Maybe she was already promised to Joseph when she was 2 or 3. I mean, sometimes those arranged marriages work that way. And so Joseph hears that she is going to have a baby, and he knows that they haven't consummated the relationship, and according to the law, well, he could either have her publicly disgraced, or he could have her stoned. That's what Deuteronomy says. Instead, he resolved to divorce her quietly, because he's a righteous man. Joseph, son of David. You see, there's the connection to the genealogy in the opening part of Matthew chapter 1. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. It's of the Holy Spirit. We've got obedience at the beginning and ending of Matthew's gospel, and we've got naming at the beginning and ending of Matthew's gospel, and we've got Emmanuel from the beginning through the middle to the very end of Matthew's gospel. Dale Bruner, in his commentary on Matthew, has a really beautiful nugget that I want to share with you tonight. You know, a lot of people get confused about the virgin birth, right? Joseph knew her not until she had given birth to the child, and he named the baby Jesus as he had been told. He was obedient in taking Mary and in naming the baby. And when he named the baby, it was a legal adoption which placed the baby Jesus into the family tree of David and Abraham, a royal pedigree. Messiah would come from the lineage of David. Mary, a virgin. Dale Bruner says, every conversion is a virgin birth. Every conversion is a virgin birth. It is always the work of the Holy Spirit. Every genesis of faith in Jesus in a human being is the work of the Holy Spirit. The genesis of Jesus, the birth of Jesus in the womb of Mary, was by the Holy Spirit. St. Paul says, at the beginning of his letter to the church at Rome and at the end, to bring about the obedience of faith. Joseph is obedient. And so when we get to the end of Matthew's gospel, it closes with the Great Commission, where Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He commands us to go out and make disciples. How? By naming them, placing the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit upon them, and bringing them into the family tree, the tree of promise, the tree of forgiveness and eternal life and victory over the grave. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey. Remember Joseph, the obedient one, to bring about the obedience of faith? And then Jesus says, teach them to obey all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you, Emmanuel. He lives up to his name as Savior, the forgiveness of our sins, and as Emmanuel, the one who is God with us. Joy is not the absence of suffering or sorrow or difficulty or crisis or scandal. Joy is the presence of God, always the work of the Holy Spirit. It was Gordon MacDonald who gave a lecture a few years ago in a large hospital here in the United States. And one of the physicians that attended his lecture was a female doctor from Nigeria. And afterwards, she came up to Dr. Gordon MacDonald and said, I want to compliment you on your lecture. Thank you. And as they were talking about his lecture, she then introduced herself, and it was her Nigerian name, which was a multiple-syllable name, but it had so many beautiful syllables to it, it was almost like a piece of music. And Gordon MacDonald was intrigued, and he said, your name, tell me about your name. Because, you know, names have purpose and destiny, and they represent character. And she said, the name means child who takes away anger. Child who takes away anger? Tell me more about your name. And this Nigerian physician said, my mother and father fell in love and they wanted to get married. But neither sets of parents would allow it. They fought it and they said, over our dead bodies. But my mother and father, they loved each other so much that they went against their parents' wishes because they believed that it was ordained by God. And they got married. They were ostracized by both families, cut off. And then my mother became pregnant. And when I was born, my grandma and grandpas, the grandmas and grandpas came and they saw me. And when they held me, the family was reconciled, and the hostility all ended. No longer angry. That's why my mom and dad called me child who takes away the anger. And Gordon MacDonald said, oh my goodness, the atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the one who takes away the wrath, the anger of God, the one who reconciles us and brings peace to us with our Heavenly Father through the blood of His cross. His name is Jesus. It means God saves. His name is Emmanuel. It means that God is with us always to the close of the age. We who are christened into that family tree of redemption. It was the 8th century, and Ahaz was the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. And there was trouble brewing. It was about 735, 732 BC. The northern kingdom of Israel had formed a coalition with Syria, and they were going to fight against the Assyrian Empire. And they said to the southern kingdom, you either join us, you're either friends with us, you're a part of a movement, or we're going to destroy you. What's Ahaz going to do? Is he going to go to Assyria and say, protect me, protect me? Or is he going to join Israel and Syria, whom the prophet Isaiah said is nothing more than smoldering stumps. Don't you love that? Smoldering stumps. Isaiah is sent by God to Ahaz, and he says, don't do anything. Stay away from Assyria, stay away from Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel. Just stand your ground and put your faith in the Lord. And then Isaiah says, ask for a sign. The Lord wants you to ask for a sign. It can be as high as heaven. It can be as deep as Sheol. Just ask it. A blank check. And you know what Ahaz does? He tears it up. Oh, far be it from me to put the Lord to the test. You know, there's nothing that God hates more, that angers the Lord more than when we put him to the test, than one other thing. When he gives us a sign and we refuse it and we snub our nose at it. So Isaiah says, okay, God's going to give you a sign anyway. A virgin, a young woman is going to conceive. It's just going to be kind of a normal kind of a happening. Somebody's going to have a baby, right? Whether it's a virgin or a young woman, some scholars say that it was Isaiah's wife and their baby, fulfilled already in the 8th century. But before the child has his bar mitzvah, age 12, 13, all these other people that you're worried about, Syria and Israel, they're going to be a speck of dust. 721, 722 BC, the collapse of the northern kingdom. But you know what Ahaz does? He disregards the word of the Lord. He is not obedient, contrasted to Joseph, huh? And instead he takes matters into his own hands. He goes to Assyria, protect me, protect me. And he becomes a vassal, and his decision leads to the collapse of Jerusalem and the temple and the southern kingdom. Oh, the sign. The sign that was given, Emmanuel, God with us, yet to be fulfilled in all of its fullness in the birth of Jesus. God is with us. Emmanuel continues to come when we are christened into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and when we share the body and blood of Jesus in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Emmanuel comes with the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life for you. Emmanuel comes even when everything is falling apart. I mean, Emmanuel comes, and we find him in the Alzheimer unit of a nursing home. And Emmanuel comes when the phone call you've been waiting for during the holidays doesn't come from a beloved child. Emmanuel comes when you get a pink slip, and not just when you get a promotion and a salary increase. Emmanuel comes as he came to Moses standing between Pharaoh and the Red Sea, as he came to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Emmanuel comes as he did with a little runt of a boy named David, who went against a big giant named Goliath. Emmanuel keeps coming and bringing pardon and peace. Jesus, God, saves. Reconciliation in places where we can't even begin to imagine it. During the final years of the reign of King Hussein, king of Jordan, Israel and Jordan separated by the Jordan River. And on the Jordan River, there was an island called the Peace Island. There were two little Israeli girls that were playing on the Island of Peace when they were shot by a Jordanian soldier a few years back. And everyone thought that was going to be the trigger that created conflict and war again with Jordan and with Israel. But King Hussein of Jordan apologized and asked for forgiveness. And his apology was accepted by Israel. But King Hussein did more than that. He traveled to Israel, and he went to the humble homes of the two families that had lost those two little girls. And in their homes, King Hussein, a Muslim, bowed down before them, and he said, I beg you to forgive me. I beg you to forgive me. Your daughter is my daughter, and your loss is my loss. May God be with you. In the strangest of places, in daily life, God continues to enter our brokenness, our crises, our sorrows, and give us reconciliation and peace and hope. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.